Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I want to encourage you today. I mean, you may be looking at all the events that are happening in the world and getting all these news feeds on your Facebook and on all your social media, and you may be saying, what difference can I make? There's 7 billion people on the face of the world, and I'm such a small part. I want to encourage you today that you are a big part, that no matter what your background is, what you're doing, education-wise, or what you do for an occupation, listen, you can make a difference right there in your community. And we're going to be talking today about a man who thought he had really nothing to offer, but because he had love for God and love for other people, God did something amazing in his life. You know, so many times people try to make life really so complicated. They even try making following God complicated. But really, it's quite simple. Jesus told us that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love God and love others. Listen, if we maintain that as the main thing, if you will, if we just say, I just want to love God and I want him to grace me and to help me to love other people, you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. Because one thing I've realized is that the more we focus on God and the more we focus on the Lord and we press in to become his friend, you know, oftentimes people are looking for a title and I'm saying, listen, the greatest place that you can be, you can't be any closer than where you are right now if you're a believer, you're a son and a daughter. And just be content with being his friend. Because I tell you what, when you become his friend, he begins to tell you his secrets. And he begins to tell you some of the things that are deep on his heart. I want you to watch this trailer for a new movie called The Dropbox. And this is about a South Korean pastor who God changed his life and burdened him because of a son that was born with physical limitations, to have compassion for the unwanted and the hurting. His story is so inspiring. It's being released even now on theaters, selected theaters. But when you watch this trailer, I want you to be encouraged that you too can make a difference. Watch this.
And then I was weeping. I always cry when I'm angry. And she said, why are you crying? It's only orphan.
The baby box is South Korea's first and only box to collect abandoned infants.
Hundreds of unwanted babies are abandoned on the streets of Seoul, South Korea every year.
Tragic loss of life moved a pastor said to set up a way for saving unwanted babies.
위험함 속에서 버려진 아이들이 있고 또 길거리에서 그래서 이제 베이비 박스라는 것을 만들게 됐고
그리고 정말 안 들을 줄 알았어요.
하지 않는 일, 그리고 버려질 수 있고 또는 나라에서 하지 않고 있는 이런 일들을 하시는
Even if there's just one person that really cares about children. It makes such a difference.
They're just human beings, just like anyone else. They have the right to live.
이제 이 문제가 한국만의 문제가 아니에요. 이제 아마 세계적으로 이 아이들이 이렇게 박해버려서 희생당한 아이들이 많으니까.
But these children, they're helpless, they're voiceless. Who's going to speak for them?
이 아이를 보내면서 다시 한번 내가 헌신을 했어요. 하나님, 이 아이들을 위해서 내가 죽겠습니다. 믿음, 소망, 사랑 중에 세 가지. 그 중에 제일은 사랑이라는 거죠.
와우. Did you hear what the pastor said? He said, God, I will die for these children. It just takes love. Love for God and love for others. How inspiring. Every child, every person deserves to live. With 50 million plus abortions in our nation since 1963, 67, I believe, with Roe versus Wade. How many children have passed away, have been killed, and are gone? Listen, we can do something lest we do nothing. And I love this pastor. He just obeyed God. He put a box there and he said, I didn't know if anyone was going to put a baby in there, but they did. And because he did, now children are alive. I want to encourage you today that God has maybe put a dream on your heart, maybe a desire, and you said, I don't know how. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the finances. I don't have maybe the connections. Listen, if you know God, you have all the connections that you need. I want to encourage you to draw close to him and allow him to move upon your heart with compassion and obey him in all that he tells you to do, because the world is waiting for your arrival and for you to walk in your God purpose and destiny that he has for you. Wow, Steve.
That's encouraging.
How inspiring.
One man affecting so many lives. It's powerful.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, the big thing is like, okay, you know, here I am, mm-hmm. you know. So many people that I've had opportunity to speak with, they tell me that they feel like that, you know, there's so many things happening in the world today. We have all this media coming right at us, whether it's on our phones, our tablets, our television screens, 24-hour news cycle. And we're bombarded with all these events that are occurring. Mm-hmm. And we realize that the world is 7 billion people. Mm-hmm. But what difference can I make? You know, what can I do? And we fail to recognize that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we have a prayer life, which means that we are communicating and talking with God, and we are actually hearing what he says, then God can literally burden us and give us a compassion for the people that he wants us to have compassion for. I mean, really, that's how true intercession really begins. Intercession is when God allows us to carry a burden, if you will, for a particular person or thing that's happening, and it becomes like our own. We're carrying it. We become burdened with it, and then we actually pray it right back to the Lord. So it's kind of this circle thing that's occurring, but it always starts in the heart of God. And I love this South Korean pastor. I mean, I'm sure that he was busy. Like, oh, yes. First thing people tell you is, I'm busy. I can't do anything. You know, I got my own plans. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had some things that he had to do. In fact, he had a child. I didn't know this, but in South Korea, to have a child, according to this documentary, that has any kind of deformities or something wrong with their body, that's a stigmatism. People don't want those children. They get rid of them. And so he actually had a child, I believe, with a growth on the side of his mouth, and he laid on his back. And he was, you know, tempted to question God. And he said, you know, I'm just going to love this child. I'm just going to take care of this child. And through that process, God really moved on his heart to say, hey, what about the other children?
Absolutely.
I love them too.
Yeah, when you think about the culture of Korea, or South Korea, actually, and it's just like that is a extremely dense culture as far as the amount of population in comparison to America. Mm-hmm. So when you take in consideration this pastor, and you can imagine the overwhelming, like he sees so much of a need, and a lot of times that overwhelming mindset says, I'm just one person, what can I do? And when you look at that that documentary and you see those images of those children and they're smiling and they're laughing. And it's just like, those would not have been able to be possible without him making that decisive statement and just saying, God, I will die for these children. And that's where you really see those transformation changes, when one person is just willing to die for the advancement of the kingdom,
yeah,
for the glory of God. And it reminds me of a story. It was just like a father and a son. They're walking down the beach and there's starfish all over the shore. And as they're walking, periodically the father will kneel down, pick up a starfish, and throw it in the water. And the son is just, he sees this and there's just so many. And he asks him, what are you doing? He says, well, you know, these starfish, they need to survive in the water. And out here on the shore, they'll die.
Hmm.
And if I don't do something for them, they'll die. And he says, well, there's just so many. And the father picks up one and he looks at his son and he says, well, for this one, it means the world.
Hmm.
And he throws it back. And it's just like, you can see the overwhelming number and think that mindset and say, oh, I'm just one person. But imagine when you speak about the love of Christ, when you give an encouraging word, when you just give an encouraging gesture, when you're there, when you give your time, it matters to that person.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It is powerful. You know, there was an orphanage and you talked about being extremely dense. Special shout out to Amy Kim. We met Amy in Central Park. She's from South Korea. And we had an amazing dialogue with her as God had us just really meet there at the Shake Shack in Manhattan there. And we had this amazing encounter. She had just given her life to the Lord a few days ago, and my wife and I were standing right behind her. She was explaining to us about South Korea and some of the things that happened and are happening there. And one of the things she talked about, how space is so limited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, very limited. And I could just hear so many Americans say, you know, well, I don't have the space, and we don't have the room. And it's like, he brought 20 children, 20 babies, needy babies in their home. There comes a point in our life where we say, it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner that we come to that realization that the world doesn't revolve around me, that it's not about my wishes, my wants, but really it's all about God. And, you know, we should have no glory of our own. We should be like the moon. You know, the moonlight doesn't come from the moon. It comes from the sun. It's a reflection of the sun. And all the glory that should come to us, really shouldn't come to us, rather, should be reflected back to the Lord and say, God, this life is not about me, but it's about how I can give you glory, how you can be famous, how you mm-hmm. can be magnified in the earth. But the problem is that many people are not ready to die. They're living for too many things in this world. And I tell you what, that you really, no man really is fit to live. I believe it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said that. Unless he has, he says, a man who does not have something a man who does not have something for which he's willing to die is not fit to live. And that's what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. You have to have a greater reason for living than just, video games, vacations, white picket fences. Because at the end of the day, we're going to leave this place called Earth. At the end of the day, we are going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And as for me, hell has nothing that I want. Okay, I'm zero. I want to be in heaven. I want to be with God. But when I get there, I don't want to be one that just escaped the flames of hell and says, "Phew, I'm glad I'm here." But I want to have something to offer the King. I want to have something to give him. I want my life as best as I can, whatever I can do, to say, Jesus, it was for you. It was all about you. And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I received that. It's not about me. I'm going to live for him. It was interesting that Jesus even told the disciples, unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself, you can have no part of me. I mean, he was very clear that following me means following me. You can't follow yourself. You can't call your own shots, but you're going to have to do surrender yourself. That's what it means when we make Jesus Lord and Savior. A lot of people are content to be saved from hell, be saved from fire and torment. But are we accepting Jesus as Lord? Lord means chief. It means boss. It means the shot caller, right? It means he calls the shots. And that's when we're really living an abundant life. That's when you're really living life to the fullest, when you recognize that at any moment you can die. And in fact, the Bible says that life is but a vapor. You're here today, Stephen, and you're gone tomorrow. And you know, there's two dates on a tombstone, the date you were born and the day that you die. What separates those two dates is a dash. The question is, none of us today know where are we in that dash. We come across a lot of people who are terrified for some reason of dying, scared to die. And here recently in the kingdom of God and the body of Christ, we've lost some generals here on this earth, and they are receiving their reward in heaven. And I've heard believers actually say that, wow, you know, sad for them, it's sad for us, and sorry that they're gone. And it's like, don't be sorry for them. They're receiving their reward. They're with the King. And the question I have for you today is that if you're more comfortable in this life and you're avoiding the life to come, then what are you really living for? These are questions that help us to really think about and analyze what are we doing. And the book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man and a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And it would do us well to begin to think about our ways and to analyze, what am I living for? And what are the things that I'm investing my time for? You know, I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? And for me, I want to aim all my efforts, my energies, all my finances and resources to the things that truly matter. And I was thinking this morning as I was, you know, abiding and just spending time with the Lord and just in prayer, I was thinking about the persecuted church. We talked about in a previous program about the atrocities that occurred in Poland and Auschwitz with the annihilation and the murder of the Jews. And it started get me to thinking about what's happening today amongst Christians, what's happening today amongst with radical Islam, who is happily pulling out swords and cutting off the heads of Christians and anyone that doesn't agree with them. And I was burdened to pray for the persecuted church. I mean, today we have Pastor Saeed Abedini, an Iranian American, who is still in prison. I believe he was sentenced to 8 years. I believe that he's in prison now the third year in Iran, in Evin prison, one of the most notorious prisons in Iran. And it's taken a lot of diplomatic efforts. But just recently, even the president and Secretary of State John Kerry are getting involved in trying to see how they can bring awareness and get him out. But I think get him home, bring him back. But Pastor Saeed is just one. I think about the two Iranian young ladies that we've discussed previously on our program, who I believe on their backpacks took something like 30,000 Bibles secretly at night in Iran. See, that's being willing to die for something. That's called life on the edge. And I'll tell you, many people are playing it safe today. They're happy to be a part of a local church fellowship. They're happy going to the early service. That's fine. That's what you enjoy. No, I'm not saying anything about that. But I think you understand what I'm trying to get to, that we can't just put Jesus as a part of our life. We can't compartmentalize and say, we're just going to get him over with here real quick on Sunday so we can enjoy the rest of the day. You know, life is so busy. Yeah. But what about Jesus being the center of every day? That he is the most important thing we have going on. And if we're just too busy to spend time with him, if we're just too busy to pray, if we're just too busy to read our Bibles, then you know what? Maybe we're just too busy. Maybe it's better that we just cut some things out. Because I promise you this, the day that we all have to stand before him, I seriously doubt that we will say, you know, Jesus, I wish I would have worked longer. I wish I would have watched more movies.
I wish I would have went to more Disney trips. I don't think we're going to say that. But I think what we will say is, gosh, I wish I would have spent more time with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Billy Graham, 95 years old, a general, a soldier for the Lord. When Greta Van Susteren interviewed him and asked him, what would you do differently? You know what Billy Graham said, Reverend Billy Graham? He said, I would have taken less speaking engagements. I would have spent more time in prayer and in study and telling God how much I love him. We have that for you. We'll make that available for you on the torch. But that's what Reverend Billy Graham said. I want to spend more time with Jesus. Listen, we have today. We may not have tomorrow. And so we want to encourage you, start making evaluation on your life. Start realizing, hey, what am I living for?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes I find that it takes a tragedy to happen, maybe the death of a loved one, maybe a diagnosis of a sickness, a terminal illness, that you know that your life may be ending. And then you determine, well, I better get busy. I better do something. Well, why wait to be terminally ill? Why wait for a tragedy? Allow yourself today to pause for that moment, to reflect upon your life, and to connect with God in ways that you've never have before. And to say, God, here I am. I surrender myself, my mind, my wishes, my desires, and I want to exchange my will, my plans, for your plans. And you think about it. You and I didn't choose to be here.
Mm-mm.
Right? The Bible says that God knitted us in our mother's womb and knew us before the foundations of the world. If it was God's idea for us to be here, maybe God has a plan for each of us to do. I want to encourage you. Get busy. Spend time with God and find out what he has you to do. Maybe you'll have the next Dropbox. Maybe you'll be the next missionary. Maybe you'll just awaken to the realization that you and God are a majority at your workplace, and you can bring the kingdom of God right there where you work, and people can come to know him. They can have a relationship with him. You can pray for them, and you can encourage them. Listen, decide today that you're going to live every single moment for Jesus, and your life will be forever changed.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.